Now extended through January 14th, join a clean and spacious Planet Fitness for zero enrollment and only $10 a month. With tons of equipment and free fitness training, it's the perfect place for everybody to work out.
Even me, mister, I'm so stressed I grind my teeth more than most people grind coffee.
Especially you. Give your anxiety clenched jaw a rest.
My molars will be so happy.
Start feeling fit-tacular today. Join InClub or at planetfitness.com. Zero enrollment, $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 14th. See Club for details.
Welcome to the Delvin Cox Experience, the podcast in which each week I am on a one-man mission to unite our culture through diversity. I'm your host, Delvin Cox, and with me this week on the podcast is a special guest, my brother. I've said this to him before. He has one of the best basketball podcasts there is, and I meant it when I said it then, and I mean it when I say it now. Welcome back to the podcast, Just Blaze. How you doing, brother?
Delvin, I appreciate the kind words, my brother. You know, we always family, man. We've been connected with each other for a long time now, for years now.
It's been. Yeah, definitely, definitely.
Yeah, so I appreciate the kind words, my brother.
The Above the Rim podcast is fantastic. You do a great job with it. Knowledgeable. Like, even when I first met you, first thing I said, you were like, damn, for somebody who's an indie podcaster, this is one well-put-together podcast. And I always appreciate that about it, because it made me step my game up with podcasting in terms of like, hey, maybe we should try this, try that. So I appreciate that about you.
Of course. And I appreciate you saying that to me, man, because I do the same thing. Same thing as you do. You listen to other people's show and try to take bits and pieces and find your style within that. I try to do the same, man. So my ears is always to the street. So I'm always trying to be, you know, innovative or try some new creative shit. Because you, as you know, podcasts, they're all about you. So
yeah,
your pod is about you. It's a reflection of you. And mine is the same. So I appreciate the kind words as always, brother.
No problem, brother. And as always, we'd like to start the podcast off with the 5 for 5. 5 questions, 5 answers to get the ball rolling. Justin, you ready?
Yeah, man, let's do it.
All right, question number one. And this is a good question for you. What's the best album you've heard this year? And it has to be this year because hip hop, baby. We got to. What's the best hip hop album you heard this year?
Damn. See, I know the mainstream. I know the mainstream is probably gonna go CLB or something like that. You know the normal, but
yeah, that,
I'm gonna say for me, yeah, it was decent though. I'm not gonna lie, it was decent.
I didn't like it that much. It was okay, but I wasn't too much of a fan of
at all. You didn't like it?
I'll put it this way. The first half of it, I liked. The second half, I didn't like.
Yeah, to me, it had a couple of tracks that I could rock to. But then, you know, it had a couple of normal snooze fests. So yes. I let some of those go.
That's accurate.
But yeah, for real. But okay, so best, I will go my favorite album that I listened to this year. I'm going to go Don Toliver, man. I'm going to go Don Toliver. I don't know if you're familiar with my man Don Toliver.
I know who he is. Don album. I have not heard the album yet. A couple people recommended that to me.
Bruh, check it out, man. Don Toliver, The Life of Don. He's like a Travis Scott kind of transplant type.
Okay.
But really good music, great beats, great bass, great vibes to the music too. It'll put you in the mood. So definitely check it out, man. So I'm gonna go for me, my favorite this year will be Don Toliver.
Okay. I'm gonna definitely check that out then.
All right. Damn, I'm trying to think. I can't remember what else is out this year.
It's a lot of stuff came out. J. Cole, Nas.
Oh, my son Nasir. Oh,
that album was fire. That album was really good.
It's wow. All right, so that might be a tie. Now, yeah. You know me and you are big Nas fans. So,
yes, definitely.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Ty on that one. I'm gonna go Nas with the tie. I forgot about him. That was this year. Yeah.
That was this year. Hard to believe that too. Back to back albums, and both of them were really good.
Yeah, because it's like, man, this has been a long year now that you think about it, man. And I'm like, I can't even remember all of the albums this year, but all right, I'll rock with those two.
Okay, I like that. Question number two. And since you're a basketball fan like myself, I'm gonna ask you this question. What is the best basketball to play street ball with?
I'm gonna go Spalding, man. I'm gonna go with the official tissue.
Okay.
I'm gonna go Spalding the rock with, because there's a lot of different balls you can use depending on the pavement, depending on the court that you're playing on too.
Very important.
Turf on, very important. But you know, just for this, I'm gonna go to classic. I'm gonna go Spalding for me, man.
Yeah, you gotta have one. Well, I ain't had no handle, so it didn't matter with me. You gotta have one to have a good grip.
You got some handles, man. Maybe an open jumper. You got some.
Yeah, maybe a jumper, but that's about it.
Gotta catch you on the court, DC. You can see your moves, man.
Yeah, now I'm trash. I am 100% trash.
I hear that, man.
Oh, man. All right. Question number three. Give me your top five NBA players today.
My top five favorite or top five in the NBA?
Let's go your top five favorite today that are currently active.
Okay, my top five favorite today. Number one, gotta be CP3. Be number one. This is no particular order, so I'm gonna just remember my top five who I rock with the most. Kemba Walker, definitely.
Good choice.
Is in my top five. Gotta go Melo. Carmelo Anthony in my top five.
I like Melo a lot.
Definitely. Jason Tatum in my top five, so that's four.
Tatum's good.
And number five. Do like a few guys. I'm gonna go number five. I'm gonna go Ja Morant, sneaking into my top five favorite.
Ja Morant's been playing,
balling this year, man. That's my guy right there. Hopefully, he makes an all-star team.
Definitely. Question number four. First, you play 2K.
Yeah,
I knew that answer already. But let me ask you this.
Yeah.
When you play 2K, what type of player do you create?
Oh, always a point guard. Point guard, playmaker. Point guard, playmaker for me.
Okay, I like that. I usually pick a small forward, or believe it or not, I pick a center.
Really? You know what? I want to try my career as a center. I've never tried it before.
I try as a center because I want to play. I want to play like with somebody like a Shaq type player. Because I like playing in the paint.
Yeah. Do you like playing as a center more than a small forward?
In the earlier versions I did, like 2K, I want to say like from 10 on down.
Yeah.
When they started refining the low post move, but now I kind of like playing as a point guard or a small forward because they've just, the ball handling skills like that have gotten so much better with the game. It's just different.
Yeah, and me too. I like to be in control also as well. So that's why I always pick a point guard, playmaker. I'm always controlling the offense. And in real life, that's how I play. So I'm always a big fan of point guard. So I always choose a point guard. But you know what? I might try for the next one after I'm done with this, my career. I'm going to try center, man. I'm going to see how that rocks. Make it to a Shaq type.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
All right. Question number five. This is going to be something good for you. If they were to remake the Above the Rim movie, who would you cast in the main roles? Well, I guess the two main roles would be Pac's character and I can't remember.
Yeah,
his name,
right? And Dwayne Martin.
Dwayne Martin's character. Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh. Like modern day actors right now?
I would say go modern day.
Damn, who's hot right now that can really play Dwayne Martin right now? I'm trying to think. Throw me some young actors out there right now.
I was thinking, at least for the Pac character, I can't remember his name. He had that funny name. He was in Candyman, in the new Candyman movie. Damn, I can't remember his name.
The one who was the artist or the painter?
Yes.
Oh, you know, actually, he would be a good Pac's brother. How am I forgetting his name? Wow. Look at me drawing a blank. Whoa. Yeah, but I just watched I can't believe I'm forgetting his name. The security guard. Wow, I'm tripping out. But whatever, it'll come right back to me.
Yeah.
But oh, okay, him for Pascal, that's not bad. You know who I'm also thinking of? Damn, nah, that wouldn't work. Damn, this is a tough question, man. Wow.
I feel like the cheat answer is Michael B. Jordan.
I was thinking that, but I didn't want to go with him, man. That's too easy. That's too easy. And you know what? Michael B. Jordan's acting fell off a little bit low-key lately. I mean, he's getting a lot of roles. So I would rather a young, hungry actor.
Yeah. Okay, the guy I was talking about, his name, this is why I can't remember his name, because it's hard to pronounce. Yara Abdul-Mateen II.
He was in that Netflix show also as well, right?
He was in a couple of things. He was in Watchmen. Yeah. He was in
Watchmen.
He's in a new Matrix movie that's coming out.
Oh, he is. Oh, okay. Yeah,
I think he's the main character in it.
Yeah, so Dan, you might have to come back to me on this one. I can't think of someone really in particular who because I'm just drawing a blank on a young black actor right now who I would like to play. Cause I would say all the actors I'm thinking of are kind of old, maybe Ghost. I'm saying Ghost, but his real character, Ghost from Power. I'm forgetting his real name.
Okay, let's try this then. I got an idea. Yeah. A young basketball player.
Well, a young basketball player right now?
Yeah, let's pick a young basketball player right now to play that character.
Oh, I would go Jason Tatum probably. I would go him.
Okay, that'll work.
I would go. Yeah, that'll work right now. Yeah, because I feel like we got a shortage of young black actors right now.
I feel like all the young black actors we have now aren't really young black actors. They're like middle age.
Exactly.
Like the guy just named plus. Donald Glover. Yeah, Denzel's so son,
for that role.
All exactly. of them like middle way, even just all the ones that aren't really young. They're like in their 30s, in their late 20s or 30s.
Yeah, and I'm thinking of all our shows too. The main actors are always at least 30 or 30 plus. They maybe play a younger character, but they're definitely in real life at least 30.
Yeah, so
a lot of them.
You don't really have that young kind of like Blair Underwood type character that was like 20 years old acting and stuff like that like we used to have.
Exactly. Damn, I can't believe I drew a blank on that. You know what? Right after maybe what we're doing the show, maybe later in the show, it's gonna come to me, man. So I'm gonna think of one. All yeah.
Right. Let me ask you this, brother. How's the podcast been going? I think you've had an interesting go at it the last, I want to say, couple of years, kind of covering the NBA stuff during a pandemic, which is unheard of and unprecedented. What has it been like trying to just do that in general?
I will say it's been a challenge, man. Definitely finding different ways to. Definitely innovate the show because I haven't been doing it in a few years. So you definitely always got to find every new season. You got to find something new to try to innovate with your show, do something new, something creative, something to engage more people or do just something just to make it sound a little bit different, you know? So it's been a challenge, but a good challenge, I would say. And definitely through the pandemic, I had to take like a little bit of a break as I feel like a few people did. Especially when the NBA season was out for a couple of months. So that was a little bit challenging, but it was cool because right when the season started right back up, you know, the bubble was a big time. At that time, only basketball was coming back.
Yeah.
So that was a pretty good time. So it was kind of a snowball effect after that. And it's been smooth sailing since then.
I don't think I asked you this. Yeah. So I'm gonna ask you this now. Even on Twitter, I never asked you this. What did you think of pandemic basketball? In terms of the bubble basketball and stuff like that.
I liked it. I'm not going to lie. I think actually when they got to the bubble, it raised the competitiveness of the league. I feel like a lot of guys, they really got in tune in the bubble because there were less distractions, obviously. Their ladies weren't there or their kids or whoever they usually hang around with all the time wasn't with them. So I feel like it caused for a more competitive environment amongst the players. And we got some good games in the bubble.
Yeah, we definitely did.
Yeah, but it was cool. It was just the time changes were weird because there were games on at like 1 p.m. in the middle of the day and shit during the bubble. So it was
really weird.
Yeah, because I was working from home there and I was like, damn, this is a fresh, brand new game on right now live at 1 p.m. I'm doing work and watching the game at the same time. So I wasn't complaining about that, but it was definitely something a little bit different. So, but it was cool. I liked the bubble.
Yeah, so I wanted to ask you, one of the reasons why I want to have you, because I want to talk about the conversation that's been going on about the NBA as of today, how you have players, because they, like a lot of places, like in New York where you're at, vaccines, mandatory. Some players are not feeling that, like Kyrie Irving's one of the, I guess I want to say the leader in that kind of, whether he likes it to be or not. He's kind of the people that everybody looks at when that comes up. What has been your thoughts about this whole Kyrie Irving and the pandemic and vaccination situation overall?
It's been a tough thing to decipher, man, because on one hand, because you could come at it from a lot of angles. You could come at it from a human being aspect, as in you should get vaccinated, as everybody should be, you know, to protect the community. Then you can also come from it from a basketball standpoint where they're upset that he hasn't gotten the vaccine. And then you can also come to it from a personal standpoint, as in if that's your beliefs, if that's your personal decision, then you don't want to intrude on anyone's personal decision because it's their body. But it's been interesting, man, because I don't know, like it's basically pretty much on hold and everything is pretty much on hold, all depending on his decision. So he can easily accelerate this or he can have it still going. But I believe he's still getting paid right now, if I'm not mistaken. So
I think so.
I don't feel like, I don't think they've stopped his or fined him money-wise yet. He's just not able to be around the team. But I don't know. It looks like this whole thing is at a standstill. And it's unfortunate because we didn't think this was even going to be a thing. But of course, like you said, New York City, we got the mandates over here. They're not playing over here. So yeah,
it's kind of crazy because this is unprecedented. Like
you've never
seen anything like this before, where a player, like we had the protests, I want to say a couple years now ago, of players kneeling and things like that, which was far different than this. But this is kind of a completely different situation because you see two sides where people are taller. Like you had Floyd Mayweather speaking out for Kyrie Irving, and you had other players speaking out for Kyrie Irving. You had other people saying that he's being selfish because he's not looking out for the team. And it's kind of a weird situation where I almost want to say there isn't a wrong answer, but it is.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird because, like, you can't – part of me says you can't force a player, person to do something that they don't want to. Like, vaccination, I'm vaccinated. I think honestly, you should get vaccinated, but not only for the better of your health, but just in case, because this virus is crazy, it's nuts, and I would never want to see any of my friends get sick from it, hurt from it, die from it, especially if it's by my hands. Like, if somebody gets corona because of me, I would feel guilty about it. But at the same time, I'll also look at it like, that's that man's body. He has a choice. He should have decision, final say on what he wants to put in his body or his family's body, for that matter, or not. He shouldn't be forced to do it. And on that matter, like, I don't think it's a thing, but let's say he takes a shot and he gets sick. He gets affected by it. Like, it affects his body and it hurts him really bad. Mm-hmm. Who's going to take care of him? Who's going to sit there and say, you know what, that's our bad? That's, you know, that's kind of a catch-22 situation. So I find the whole scenario interesting because there's not an easy answer to it.
Yeah, at all. There isn't an easy answer at all, because an easy answer would be us making the decision for him. But as you know, as I know, you can't really make decisions for another man, man.
Yep.
That's really all on their choice of how he wants to live his life and how he wants to live his life with his family. That's nothing for either one of us to decide. Everyone has their own individual family. So it's tough, though, that he's actually really going through with it, though, because I actually thought he would have been vaccinated by now. I'm not going to lie. So I can't believe it's actually getting into the season now with no real clear direction, because really they haven't really said anything about Kyrie lately. It's been like whenever he decides to, we'll be here. That's basically all they've said thus far.
Do you think in the long run, not right now, because eventually he's going to have to come back, I think.
Yeah.
But do you think this will affect the chemistry of that team?
See, initially I just said yes really quick. But I think, this might be two answers. I think it would affect the chemistry of the team on the floor, I think, a little bit. I think in the locker room, as boys, as whatever, I don't think it affects them at all, because I don't think the players are really mad at Kyrie for that. They're just like, bro, do what you got to do or whatever. I don't think they're mad at him for not coming. They're just probably, I would say, upset, but maybe a little annoyed, like,
yes,
because their team is suffering because you're not there. you're a direct result of our team not playing as well as we can be. Because if we had Kyrie here, the Nets would be a lot better right now and playing a lot better towards in the beginning of the season. So they can be a little annoyed at him for that. But then the reason why he's not there is what would make you pull back and say, all right, I guess I can understand. But selfishly, you want to be like, I need you here for the team because we're trying to win a championship. So it's it can affect him, but also not at the same time because he could easily slide right in when he does decide to come back.
It's crazy to think about how this team, when it's all together, is a top NBA team. It's no doubt about it. And it's no question in that at all. And it seems like, I want to say this happened similar happened last year where the team just couldn't get together because of injuries. And now it's Kyrie not being there. I want to see this team at full kilt. I want to see the Nets be the Nets.
Yeah.
But I also understand. It's just like, damn it. I feel like they're cursed almost.
Yeah, it's crazy. I think it's less. I know it's definitely less than 15, but I think it's about less than 10 of games that all of them have played together with them as a full healthy roster. So they haven't really had their full roster for a consistent amount of time. So, and it's not going to happen again this season. So they're going to have to play the season on the fly once again. So it's definitely tough to see, man, because we still haven't seen what they can be at their full potential. And that may be the case from here on out, because now the relationship with the front office and Kyrie may be fractured. We don't know what's going on there behind the scenes. And maybe they feel like he's being stubborn. Maybe they're a little mad at him for not coming back now. So it's all of those personal things that come into play also as well with the business of basketball. So it's going to be interesting, man. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not going to lie. I have no idea. Yeah. I hope he comes back, though.
I do, too. I honestly do. I hope he comes back. I hope this gets worked out. But speaking of this Kyrie Irving situation, I wanted to ask you this. The NBA's top 75 list. What did you think of it when it came out, the new list, the updated list, shall I say?
I know there was a lot of backlash and outrage about the list. I wasn't really that mad at the list. I'm not going to lie. It wasn't really that egregious to me at all. I kind of like a lot of the picks that they chosen, but I did have a few alterations that that I would have done. Like, I would have had Dwight Howard in. I think Dwight Howard was a snub. If I had to take someone out, because I know a lot of people were saying if you put somebody in, you got to take somebody out. I would have taken AD out. If there was a choice between Dwight Howard and AD, I would have took AD. I would have took Dwight. I don't know why people are forgetting those Orlando Magic years when he was the anchor of that team going through the Eastern Conference Finals. So, and Dwight Howard was
Shaq.
Exactly. So, and that's what started the whole damn beef with Shaq anyways. So,
yeah, that literally did.
Yeah, so Dwight Howard definitely should be in the top 75, I think, especially over the AD. I think because AD doesn't have the years yet. He still has a couple more years to go. His career is not finished. I don't think you could put him in there yet when his career is not fully finished or on the tail end. So I know a lot of people were mad at Kyrie also not being on the list. I would have had him also. It depends who I would have taken out. I think a sleeper that I think a lot of people are sleeping on is C. Webb. I would add Chris Webber on our top 75.
Definitely should have been on there.
Yeah, I'm a big Chris Webber guy. Nobody at all was talking about C. Webb being taken off that list. So people are sleeping on him too as well. So I've always been a big C. Webb supporter. So I think he should have been on there as well. And T-Mac also, I think, is one that they probably should have been included on our NBA 75. Man. What you thought about it?
I thought it was, how do I say this? I don't know if you remember this because I'm old. You remember the original list they did?
Of course, the top 50?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like
that
one a lot better. And the way that came out a lot better than I like the way this one came out. This one felt like a little bit tacked together and not enough thought into it.
Yeah, it came out of nowhere too, because I didn't even know that was even coming out this year until the year actually started. So that was kind of, it came out of left field because I didn't even realize it was the 75th anniversary myself, so.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, but I think I agree with you. I think that there are a lot of players. I have to look at the list right now, but if I put a list up, there are a few players I can think of off the top of my head that probably deserve to be on the list.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like it's just crazy that, I don't know, rating NBA players is hard. that's ranking them is hard.
It is, because it's hard to rank them from different eras too, because a lot of people grew up in different eras and watch basketball in different eras. So, and a lot of people on Twitter now, it's a whole lot of recency bias going on right now. They forgot. Yeah. They forgot a lot about how these boys were killing early 2000s, late 2000s, early 90s, late 90s, late 80s. So these, especially these young guys on Twitter, because NBA Twitter is dominated by a lot of young guys now. And they haven't seen these guys really ball. So they think this right now, what's going on, is the best thing that they've ever seen. So,
yeah, and also you got to kind of add it to the just how things shake up in terms of like play. Like, for example, Shaq is a perfect example of that. Shaq breaks the system because Shaq in his prime was pretty much unstoppable. So if you look at all the centers, all the greatest centers in history, they weren't as big as Shaq. They weren't as bulky as Shaq. They weren't as strong as Shaq. So it's going to be hard for those type of players to guard a Shaquille O'Neal. It was hard it was hard for players like Hakeem Olajuwon, who came up in that same era to guard a Shaq. Mm-hmm. Because Shaq was just so big and dominant. He could post you up and get in the paint and just score two. He was almost a guaranteed 2 points.
Always.
Yeah. And I think that's where I kind of fall into it, because how do you rank Jordan?
Like, if you that's a goat. That's number one. Like,
if you look back at the past generation, I don't see too many players that can mess with him. Look at the generation, like, in terms of the 2000s, Kobe, probably Wade, LeBron. That's about it. So it's kind of like, it's really interesting how you, who do you put above Jordan? Who do you put above Magic? Certain players, you're like, all right, these got to be in the top five.
Mm-hmm. And also, too, you got to take a lot of factors into the greatest basketball player, because playing basketball is not just one particular skill. It's like a lot of things that go into it. Like, a lot of people, some people, I would say, don't take leadership into account. I take that into account when I'm talking about.
That should be a big thing.
Yeah, but a lot of people don't care about that kind of stuff. I'm like, that's huge. To be a leader of men, like, that is hard to do. A leader of men who all have egos, all get paid millions of dollars, you saying, follow my lead. Let's win this championship. Let's win this money. Let's get this title. That's tough to do. So you have to be great at what you do as well as that. And it's tough. So that stuff, to me, plays a major role in ranking players.
I kind of look at my NBA rankings like I look at my rap rankings. Mm-hmm. What I mean by that is you can't really do a top 50 rappers list because there's so many different versions of rap.
Yes.
Like, you know, you got the trap rappers like T.I., Jeezy, even Rick Ross and things like that. Then you have, like, the lyricists like Nas. How do you rank those all in one batch?
Yeah.
They're two different.
They're like different categories, too.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, then you have Talib, then you have Black Thought, then you have people like Outkast that don't fit into one genre. So it's like, how do you really rank this type of stuff?
Yeah, that's tough. That's why a lot of those lists are subjective, man, because it's really on what you personally like or what you personally listen to is what would dictate your list, I feel like.
Yeah, and I think, and I know you're in New York, and this is blasphemy, but I'm going to tell you, a lot of cats in Miami would not rank Notorious Big in their top five. I love Biggie. I think he's up there, but because they grew up on Tupac. They grew up on a lot of...
That's fair.
Yeah, so it kind of it's kind of weird.
Yeah, I could see that, because I know people kill me for this, but I don't have E-40 ranked high on my top rapper list. I've never been a big E-40 guy, because I talked to a lot of dudes like, especially some of my West Coast boys, and they be mad at me that E-40 is not high on my list. But I'm like, yo, I just never got into E-40. It's never been my thing. I can't put him up there if I don't personally listen to him or really like music. So he's good for some, but just not me.
Yeah, I think I had a conversation with somebody about that recently. I was like, E-40 is kind of like West Coast Noriega.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is,
I like that.
People who don't know who Nori is and don't get it, just don't get it.
Yeah, they wouldn't understand it.
But the people who know that CNN stuff and that Noriega stuff, that's our dude. E-40 is the same way. Like, if you don't know that Bay Area music and how much he means to the Bay Area, you just won't get it. You just won't understand it. But if you know, you know.
Yeah, it's true. Because some people won't understand. Nori's a lot of, I call it like talk rapping. Like he's rapping, but he's talking at the same time, though. So it's you really have to, I guess, understand it or know the culture or understand where it's coming from, that why he's saying it or I guess how he's saying it. So yeah, it's like it's an acquired taste, I would guess, or an acquired listen.
Definitely. I agree. So Josh, let me ask you this question. What have you been thinking of the NBA this season so far? We're way early in it, by the way.
Mm-hmm. I like it, man. I think this NBA season is shaping up to be one of the most competitive we've had in a while, man. I know the media loves to pick their favorites that they have winning the title, but to me, there's no title favorite in my opinion.
Not at all. I agree.
Yeah, I think anyone can win. I know a lot of people have the Lakers and the Nets, but me personally, with my finals pick, I don't think either one of those two are making it to the finals. So I think to me, this season in particular has been extremely competitive, and I think it will be competitive. And I like the new NBA, the new rules that they implemented this season. So
yeah,
it's made for better basketball, man. I like it. I know James Harden is pissed, but I tell you, we like watching it better.
Let me ask you this. Do you think the Clippers are underachieving?
This season. I don't think they're underachieving this season because we got to cut on some slack because Kawhi's not there. If Kawhi was there, then it will be a little bit different. But I wouldn't necessarily say they're underachieving. I mean, they're doing worse than expected right now. So technically, I guess you could say they're on.
Let's just put in a grander scale of things. In general, since Kawhi has got there, you think the Clippers underachieve?
Yes, because the goal was to win a title, and they haven't done that, or even been in the finals either.
Yes.
So I would say, yes, they have underachieved. They did get to the Western Conference Finals last year, but Kawhi didn't play the entire playoffs, but he did help them get to the Western Conference Finals. So last year it was a win, but it still wasn't the ultimate goal, which is why you traded so much to bring Paul George over here to pair with Kawhi. So they haven't gotten to the promised land yet. So I would say, yeah, underachieving as a whole.
Okay, I like that answer.
Yeah.
Another question about your boy, CP3.
Talk to me.
Do you think we will see him get a ring before it's all said and done?
Yes.
I felt like last year was the moment.
I know, man. I know a lot of people are saying that.
I was legit mad.
Yo, man, that whole finals was the whole playoff run was pulling on my heartstrings, man. I'm not gonna lie, man. That was a huge playoff run for me in particular, because you know a lot of people when they see CP, they always associate me with CP3. So I know a lot of people watching that shit were like, "Damn, what is Just doing right now? How he feels about it?" But it was crazy, man. It was a wild ride. The main series when they beat the Lakers, that was a crazy series to even start off the playoffs.
I thought they had it. I thought they had it.
Yeah, man, it was tough, man. We definitely were supposed to win that finals against the Bucks, man. They had all the tools to win last year, but I can't be that too mad at him because he did have some young boys in the finals there. And DeAndre Ayton, there's nothing 6 foot Chris Paul can do with a 6'10" Giannis coming in trying to score 50. There's literally nothing Chris Paul can do at 6 foot. So he needed Ayton to step up, and Ayton, he just got work, man. So it was really – and also – the Bucks, they went through their growing pain. So they got kicked out of the playoffs a few years back. They got slaughtered by the Heat a few years back also as well. So they went through their lumps as a unit. So it was their time to win last year. And the Suns, their lump was last year. So now they need to make their way back to the finals this year, which I'm hoping they will. But it's going to be tough.
It's going to be tough. I think they can get there, man. I'm excited to watch NBA basketball because it's so diverse now. I feel like a few years back, people would talk about, the conversation was, oh, all these super teams are being made because of LeBron James and the Heatles and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And when you kind of look at it, it's almost like those super teams didn't matter. A lot of those super teams didn't accomplish anything. Like, it's just like, kind of like, it's more so less so now. Just got to have a good team that's cohesive. Like, even when the Warriors were winning, most of that nucleus was already there. They kind of just added KD to the team, but they already had all-stars who they kind of grew up to their liking.
That was a big ad, though. A very big ad.
Oh, very big ad. Yeah, that was like that was like the big Joker. But yeah.
That was an unnecessary piece, man.
Yeah. I feel like we've gotten to the point now where just having a super team isn't going to win, isn't necessarily going to win your championship. Like the Bucks, I wouldn't consider the Bucks a super team at all. I wouldn't even consider that Heat team that went to the finals that beat the Bucks a super team. Not even close to it. But I feel like we just got to that point. Now, hey, you need a little bit more than a super team to get there. What are your thoughts?
I agree. You definitely, there's a little bit more than just throwing talent together. Like, just throwing talent together doesn't automatically equal you a championship. It probably will get you a lot of wins in a regular season. But when you get to the playoffs, literally anything can happen. And shit happens in the playoffs, for real. Honestly, every year. So I think a team with a lot of cohesion and that's all on the same page, I think is most important. So team on the same page and the same goal, everyone who knows their role is extremely important in every team. So every team that you see go to the finals, everyone knows the top five players. They all have distinguished roles on each team. So I think that's an underrated aspect that every team should have.
I agree. Final question for you, and it's an interesting one because it's a New York-based question.
All right.
Do you ever think there'll be a point in time where people look at the Brooklyn Nets like they do the New York Knicks?
Oh, man. If I'm keeping it a buck right now, if I'm being honest, the same as the New York Knicks? No. I'm going to be honest. Not the same, because the Knicks, man, it's just an aura around the franchise, an aura around the team. Even though they've been shitty for 20 years
now. A long time.
A long time. They've been there 20 years now. And they still, you see, they had a little bit of success last year, and fans came crazy. They went out of control. They carried on over to the season. So I don't think they can ever have the same stigma or the same cachet as the New York Knicks, because if you've been in New York, you know it's in the city, Madison Square Garden, Penn Station. It's just in a different area. It's literally in the center of New York City where Madison Square Garden is. So the Barclays is out here by Flatbush in Brooklyn by me. So it's a different area, and a lot of people have really been to Brooklyn, I guess, been to the Barclays. But even also, when you go to both stadiums, the Garden is just way more live, I'm going to be honest. It's way more live. Just the energy in there is different. So I don't think they'll ever get to the same point as the Knicks. I'm going to be honest, nah. But they're going to probably gain in popularity a lot more. But it's just, it's not going to be with the Knicks now. I'm not going to lie. Because the Knicks are just a billion-dollar brand.
Yeah. Like that New York hat seen everywhere by people who are not even from New York, who know nothing about New York. They know who the New York Knicks are.
Yeah, and you see the Knicks fans in every stadium, too. Down in Miami, too.
Always in Miami.
A lot of Knicks fans. A lot of Knicks fans up there, man. Always.
A lot of New Yorkers live down here, man. So when you go to the Heat-Knicks game,
it'll
be just as many people here for the Knicks as they do the Heat. Yep, it's wild.
It's true. Is 100% true. There's definitely a lot of New York people over there in Miami. Florida as a whole, I would say. So
yeah.
That's for
rent
sure.
Cheaper.
Yeah.
Talk not by much,
I'm trying
now.
To head over there too, man.
Not by much. It's getting to the point.
You guys are coming up in the game, man. I'm not going to lie. You guys are coming up in the game. I'm not going to lie.
they started to charge them ridiculous prices for the hood. Like, yo, what are y'all doing?
I hear it. It's still not as crazy as New York, though, but you're going to have to – yeah, but they're trying to charge for that sunny sunshine, man.
Definitely, definitely. Man, this has been a blast having you on, Just. Got to have you on more often, man. This has been awesome.
Of course, brother. I appreciate you. I appreciate the invite, as always. I got to get you on Above the Rim so we can talk about your Heat, man. We got to do a deep dive, man.
Oh, damn.
Because I rock with your Heat this year. I'm not going to lie. They're my pick to go to the finals in the East. I'm not going to lie. So I really –
I give you props for this. A couple years ago, you were the only person besides me saying that he was going to the finals.
Yep.
And everybody looked at like he was nuts.
I picked it from earlier in the season. I was like, yo, something about this Heat team. I really like how they are put together. And I believe in Coach Spo, man. He's one of the best coaches in the league. So
yeah, without question.
100%. So definitely, bro, I'm gonna schedule out on the date so we can come on the both room. We can chop it up about your Heat, brother.
I'm down.
They rocking this year. They rocking. They
definitely
rocking.
Are, yeah, man.
Yeah,
let them know.
I appreciate the invite. Yeah.
Definitely, let them know to find you out on Twitter for those who want to look and check out the Above the Rim podcast, because it's definitely dope.
Of course, man. You can check me out on Twitter at justblaze_513. That's JUSBLAZE_513. On IG is justblaze513. Same thing. Check out Above the Rim podcast. New episodes out every Wednesday. I'm putting out one tomorrow, so there's gonna be a new one out tomorrow. So, Delvin, I appreciate the invite, my brother. You know it's always a pleasure. We've been rocking with each other for years now, man.
So definitely.
I always appreciate the dope conversation, brother. And yeah, I thought, you know what's crazy? I thought we were gonna talk about the GTA Vice City soundtrack in here, because I thought you were gonna ask me a
music
question.
We definitely gotta talk about that.
Yeah, yeah.
I gotta have you back on to talk about that.
Yeah, because you know I play a lot of games too, so I know you're the gamer, man. So we definitely gotta have a good conversation about that too. Maybe me, you, and Baylor or some shit like that.
I'm down with that, definitely.
Yeah, for sure. So I appreciate the invite, of course, and it's always a pleasure, brother.
One more question for you before we go.
Yeah, man.
When are you gonna take Stephen A. Smith's job?
Yeah. Yo, they got an offer to me, man. I'm ready. I'm ready, man. I'm ready, suited and booted. Whenever they need me, man, the streets got to hear me. That's
ESPN looking a little sick lately.
Yeah, because nah, I can't even watch it like that, man. It's too. Yeah. It's a little old fashioned.
Yeah,
I say right now.
Yeah, trash.
They got to liven that. Yeah,
they got to fix that.
Liven that up. I'm here, man. Above the rim, me here.
Definitely.
So yeah, man, for sure.
All right, as always, Delvin Costa Spears, we are out. Peace.
Sir.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Delvin Cox Experience. If you like more content, go on patreon.com/Delvin Cox Experience. There is more exclusive podcasts, including I'm the Podcaster, he's the DJ, that is the hip-hop podcast I do with Mr. Tim Hines, as well as the Boondocks, which is a Boondocks review show I do with my son Delvin Jr. With that being said, I want to give a special shout-out to Patreon producers Shirley Walker, Ghost Rider UK, and Mikey Famine. Thank you. God bless.